get a fire going, get some fresh food, maybe even try and fish as well, you know. Just try and make your own opportunity of life, you know, because I just feel like, you know, this life is such a gift to have, and to experience this world is just unbelievable.
And welcome to episode 24 of the Distance Hiker Podcast. I'm your host, Matthew. It is, as always, a pleasure to have you on the show. Now, before I get started with the podcast, I just wanted to apologize for today's audio quality on my side. Funnily enough, Daniel and Charlotte, who are on today's show, were recording in a tent in the Shetland Islands and managed to have better audio quality than me recording on a professional microphone on the internet. Not quite sure what happened, but it sounds like I'm in a train station. I assure you I was not recording this in a train station, but it is awful. So I had to do a fair bit of editing to basically cut the bits in between the conversation out. So when Dan and Charlotte are chatting, you will hear nothing from my side because it was so noisy. I had to just take that out. So usually I respond with a bit of laughter and some ums and ahs, but I had to just take all of it out because it was just so bad. So you hear the bits where I ask the questions in chat, but beyond that, I'll sort of go pretty silent throughout the whole show, which has been a bit frustrating because it's not really the kind of organic conversation I like to usually share. I don't really do lots of editing often, so it is what it is. Podcast recording aside, I feel this was a great episode. Dan and Charlotte are two coast walkers, and I, as with most of my guests, found out about them on UK Long Distance Hiking, our community Facebook page. Side note, if you're not a member, why not? So they are currently walking around the coast of Britain. What really took me by surprise is the length of time they're taking to do it. And we go into that bit in the podcast, but they're taking 4 years to walk. And what I love about that is that they've just turned this into their life for the next 4 years. This is what they do. This is their job. And they're walking and they're working and they're living off grid and surviving their way around the coastline. So it's a really fascinating conversation with two energetic and really interesting individuals who have a lot of wisdom and a lot of interesting thoughts and ideas in the world, and just a very gentle perspective on life. And I really enjoyed chatting with them, and I think you will really enjoy listening to this episode. So without further ado, here is Daniel and Charlotte on the Distance Hiker Podcast. Enjoy.
It's not really a campsite, it's more like behind
some trees. Which is rare in
Shetland. Yeah, it's like the only trees here. Yeah. Well, it's not really the only, but just a few trees dotted around Shetland. So, yeah, it's quite rare to be around trees.
Amazing. So, yeah. Shetland at the moment, how long have you been walking around Shetland for?
We have been walking around Shetland since the 11th of May, so it's been about 2.5 months, yeah, roughly.
Oh, interesting. Oh, cool. That sounds great. Well, it's really, really good to meet you both. I wasn't sure if we were doing just you tonight or both of you, Dan and Charlotte. So it's nice. I'm glad you both joined me. I was kind of hoping to have two of you on here tonight because I've not done a show where it's me and two people. So bear with me because I need to get the hang of sort of answering the right question, asking the right questions to the right person, I think.
But
I think how we'll do it's probably going to be easier. I'll just ask a question and you guys can answer it whichever way you want, whether it's one of you or both of you or whatever. That should work fine. So you've, like many guests before you, have kind of appeared on the Facebook group, UK Long Distance Hiking, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And as you've probably seen, you get a lot of, you know, admiration and likes and comments when you post something on there, because what you're doing is massively aspirational and inspirational. So it's good to have you on tonight to find out a bit more about it and to kind of dig into your coastal walk, both of you, and kind of see how it's going and, you know, how far you've got and what's left and things. So I'm going to wind it right back to the beginning. Simple question for you. How did you two first meet?
Well, yeah, I was walking the coastline 2 months. There's an oyster catcher. walking 2 months into my walk. I was on the west coast of Scotland near Dunoon. And
So basically, I ended up in Dunoon with a friend of mine. And then, so she's called Vivian, and she sent me a message saying, oh, I've got this guy staying with me, and he's walking around the coastline for the Armed Forces charity. And I just had this, like, instinctive feeling of, oh, I need to meet this guy and see why he's doing it kind of thing. I didn't know anything about him, how old he was, or anything. So, was it the next day or 2 days later? I sent him a message saying, oh, if you're still in the area, I can take you on a tour around where I live. And it was like chucking it down that day, so I was like, it'll get him out of the rain and give him a rest, some walking. And then an afternoon turned into 4 days going around Loch Fyne through to like Inverary and Furness and stuff like that. We just ended up talking every day,
and doing a few islands over the summer,
a few islands with him over the summer. And then I left my job in November and joined him for Orkney in the winter.
Wow, that's amazing. So how long ago was that roughly? What's the kind of time scale?
So we met on the 23rd of May, 2021. This
21.
Yeah.
Nice.
Then during that summer we did some islands together, and then it was last November that I joined him, and then we did Orkney together.
So it's been about nearly 9 months you've been with?
Something like that.
8 months and a half, or something? 8.5 months?
Yeah.
So, Charlotte, what made you make that decision to sort of quit your job and just go for this then? It's a big decision to make, walk, you know, around the coastline and be with somebody, you know, 24/7 essentially.
Yeah, it was a big...
and for both of you, obviously, it is, but
yeah.
Curious kind of how's that going? Has it been, you know, everything you wanted it to be and more? Or?
Yeah, it's going well. Yeah.
Yeah,
I feel like if many other couples did this, they would have fallen out by now. But
yeah,
it's been going well.
Yeah, and you must have had an idea though before making that decision that it was going to go well. You weren't expecting the relationship questions, were you? Threw this at you here.
Not really, no. But
just, I guess, curious.
You never know what life's about to throw at you.
Yeah.
No.
But it's been great. I think. We just balance each other out because I think I'm kind of always in the sky, kind of
daydreaming,
and I'm more Charlotte's kind of more so just grounding and kind of forward thinking, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So,
and how do you balance that in terms of who makes the kind of plan, or who do you both have kind of set responsibilities that you tend to fall into when you do this?
Pretty much, yeah. I think we do have our own kind of responsibilities when it comes to, like, say for example cooking or carrying kit to putting the tent up, to where we're going, the direction we're going and stuff like that.
I think we kind of
decision making
kind of just have the same mindset and like agree to each other's plans. I think most of the time it's like, right, okay, we're gonna do this, and we both know if one of us said something that confidently, then it's going to be all right, and that is the right thing to do kind of thing. There's rarely a time where it's like we've got opposite ideas and things that, oh, we should go this way instead of that way. Or I think that's very rare that happens, that we've got differing opinions.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's obviously communication, isn't it, that's making it work. And you know, you're in a position where it's just the both of you for much of what you do, so you kind of have to communicate.
Yeah.
But it sounds amazing. I mean, it must be a challenge, but it must be really nice to have that company as well for you, Daniel, where you've obviously done, you know, this yourself initially, and then you've now got Charlotte joining you. Was that a really nice change for you to have that company as you kind of carried on walking?
Yeah, definitely.
Especially with somebody who, you know, is not just a friend, but is an easy partner as well.
Yeah, it is amazing for me. Like, I did start this walk. I think I had a bit of a Like I wanted something to prove to the world in some ways. I had a bit of anger when I started, and then just when I met Charlotte, most of that stuff kind of disappeared. It just, you know, she's calmed me a lot down, and it's been amazing since. She's brought a different, not only a different dimension to the walk. It's just been a brilliant experience, and I'm so glad to show my journey with someone else, you know, and it's amazing. It's been good.
If you don't mind me asking, you mentioned when you started the walk, you had a lot of anger. What was the reason then for doing it for you, Daniel? Was that kind of anger something you wanted to, what was it about, and was it something you wanted to overcome through the walk?
I think it's there was a lot to do with, I'll start the story off with how I can.
Yeah, for sure.
Started the walk. So when I was 16, I joined the army, and I was in for 5 years. I got diagnosed with an autoimmune disease that affected my back, hip and spine. So I had a lot of physical issues, a lot of mental health issues afterwards. I started to get into drugs once I left, like cocaine, alcohol, that kind of stuff. And I just kind of went downhill. I'd done like a cry for help one day, and SAFRA were there to help me pay my bills, just help me, you know, just give me a bit of kindness really, and show me that kind of love and support that I kind of needed at the time. Fast forward to COVID and stuff like that, I lost my job. I totally turned my life around at the same time as well. I was going to the gym, I was eating healthily, I was, you know, I quit all the alcohol and drugs and stuff like that as well. I started meditating as well. That was a big part of my life. Still is big part of my life. And I just wanted to give something back to the world, I suppose, and give something back to the charity that helped me so much. And I think at the time as well, some of the things that was seen online, I suppose, at the time, my mental health wasn't that great. We had depression and lockdown and all that kind of stuff. It was just, I wanted to do something to, you know, really do something positive and really, you know, kind of change kind of the outlook of everyone and all my peers around me, and people that was, COVID and lockdown, it caused a lot of trauma for a lot of people. I was seeing that a lot, not only through COVID, but there was like suicides and all sorts, you know. And I seen all of that happening, and I was just like, I kind of felt as if I needed to do something, you know, as well. And the reaction that I got when I first started this was amazing, you know, like everyone was so supportive and stuff like that, and that really did help. But I think most of the anger as well came from a lot of my backstory as well. So like when I was growing up, like a lot of childhood trauma, a lot of learning about myself really. This is what this walk has done on the whole. Like it's totally healed me. It's been amazing to just almost feel confident about speaking about my traumas, and being open to speaking to many people. And come across so many walks of life as well, and it's just been an amazing adventure so far, and it's been good. So.
It's such a similar story to so many people I speak to. Chris Howard, the other coast walker who's recently finished, you may know, comes to mind, and he says a similar thing about that kind of transformation, and you know, the learning about himself that happens on the trail, and I think that's the beauty of it. Now, what really interests me though, and I think I've probably asked Chris the same question, what made you make the decision to do the coastal walk? Because you obviously wanted to do something that gave back. A lot of people, when they do that, which is obviously, and I've done it before, you know, they go to, I'm going to do a sponsored event, like I'm going to run a marathon, do a triathlon, whatever that might be, eat as many hamburgers as I can in an hour, whatever.
Yeah.
What made you go and do this? Because this is a huge commitment on your time. And obviously financial as well. So what was the difference there for you?
I think I don't know. Well, I was meditating. This is how I got the idea for the walk. And I was meditating. I was just looking for something to do, like, you know, to give back to the world. And at the same time, I had a lot of potential. I could see that, you know, that I needed to do something in some ways. And at the same time as well, like, there wasn't really any jobs in Dalbeattie, the place that I was in. If I was to get like a bus and stuff like that to Dumfries, I wouldn't be there for a reasonable time to do like working and stuff like that. So, and I didn't just want to sit and do nothing, you know. I had a lot of, I just wanted to do something, be proactive, maybe even move away. That's what were kind of my thoughts. And I still had, I meditated for like 4 hours. This idea came to my mind. I never even done hiking before in my life. I never climbed a mountain. I haven't done a Monroe kind of thing. I've done none of that.
You went into this with no experience whatsoever?
Pretty much, yeah. The person that inspired me to do this, I suppose, back in 2012, there was a man named Christian Nock who walked up for Help for Heroes. And I remember him in the papers and stuff like that, and I followed him on Facebook and stuff, and he was the real kind of inspiration to it all, and I was like, ah, that's what I can do, and this will be amazing, you know. And then obviously I was thinking to myself, I was like, should I do it for mental health or something like that? And then I realised that, you know, like, Safa were there to help me when I was, like, in a really kind of low point in my life, so I thought, you know, it has to be Safa, you know, they're really close to my heart kind of thing, so... So yeah, and then that's what I did. I pretty much sold all my items in my house. If I couldn't sell it, I give it back to charity, give it to like charity shops and stuff. And then I told the council that I was handing my keys back in. And yeah, I left on the 15th of March 2021. And because of COVID at the time, I could only do like a certain amount of miles. And then, just went from there around the coastline, meeting so many other people, and just, it was great. It was to begin with, it was really hard, it was really tough. I think if I told myself, no, I don't want to do it, I would just keep holding it off, but I needed to have that mindset of, just do it. Just don't think about that. If I think about it, it's not going to happen, so. Yeah. I just had
do you both have those days together? Do you both have those days together where you kind of think sometimes, why are we doing this? Just fancy going home and being somewhere warm and cosy.
Yeah, I think that happened yesterday. The weather here has been absolutely rubbish. It's been June, July, and obviously this is the start of August, and there's been a week of good sunshine.
Yeah, it's been odd good day, but then most of the time it's been wind, rain.
Oh, it's just been horrible.
I've actually had to wear my winter wrap jacket for the most of it.
Right. Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, is it that cold as you're moving?
Wind chill. Yeah, it's the wind chill, because most of the northern winds are obviously coming from the
Greenland or whatever it is, all the ice up north.
Yeah.
And it's like, sometimes it's like, feels like winter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just horrible. But yeah, I kind of had a little negative sprout where I was just effing and bawling. What's the point?
And the fog, and it's like, well, weather's weather, innit? So.
I think I had, when these situations, they don't happen a lot, but obviously.
Every now and again.
Every now and again. But yeah, that obviously taught me a lesson, so.
Yeah. So Charlotte, you obviously came into this walk a bit later, as we've mentioned already. What did you have to give up then to join this? What were you doing before, and where are you at, and what have you kind of sacrificed to do this? Because Daniel's obviously kind of sold all his possessions and done the classic sort of, you know, clean slate, kind of all in with this. What about yourself? Where were you before?
So I was working in a restaurant on the west coast of Scotland. I'd been there for 3.5 years. And I think I was just at the point where I was ready to leave that job anyway. But I just didn't leave in the summer because it was like a small restaurant with a small team of people, so I didn't want to leave them in the lurch or anything like that. So I waited for quite a few months, and that's why I didn't leave until November. But yeah, I think a big factor in it was everything was lining up for me to just join him and just pack a bag and just go. So yeah, I was slowly getting rid of all my stuff anyway, because I was like, you know what, I just want to clear out. I remember just dropping off bagfuls of clothes to the charity shops and to people to sell them for me, and over like months.
See, you've both gone completely clean slate on this. You're both fully all in.
Pretty much.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So I want to get into the bit of the nitty gritty, because I'm kind of interested to find out, you know, how long you're planning on doing it for. Because I looked on your page and it said, you know, is it four years you're expecting to take to do
something
this?
Something like that, yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
That's remarkable. So how long, what's the start date, just to give listeners a time scale so far?
So the start date was the 15th of March 2021.
Okay. Which point did you start walking in the country?
So it's Dumfries and Galloway, so southwest Scotland.
Brilliant, cool. And you're now in Shetland. So, and Charlotte, what's the date that you joined roughly, or the month?
I think it was roughly like the 22nd of November.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Nice. And so you started in Scotland, you're still in Scotland, got 4 years to do it. You're obviously taking your time with this, which is an amazing thing to do. You're not kind of trying to race around and get it done in, you know, a record-breaking time. What's your reason for wanting to do it in that way, rather than just kind of express through it like a lot of coastal walkers obviously do? Because, you know, they might only have a year to do it, so they've kind of got to get their pace on. What's your reasoning for wanting to do it slower?
We do have a lot of opportunities, I suppose, to experience working with other people as well. So, like, for example, we went to Fair Isle for 2 weeks and we worked with a crofter and stuff like that to get some money, a bit of cash and stuff. We've done a lot of stuff like that. We also learned how to fish. We've caught a lot of fish and stuff like that. And, you know, we do that kind of self-sufficient as well, that kind of thing. Yeah, a lot of that.
I think basically is we have responsibilities in the form of having to do this walk and keep ourselves alive and stuff like that. But we don't have any of the normal day responsibilities, or neither of us have a house, neither of us have kids. There's no mortgages, there's no bills to pay.
There's not really a big family between us either.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So.
Yeah. So it's a real stripped down existence for you both.
Yeah, and it's a once in a lifetime opportunity, really. And if you walk 25 miles a day, which is what some people want to do, but I feel like you can't really take it in as much if you're just rushing through it. And yeah, 25 miles a day would just kill you off, really.
And you're obviously on Shetland Island at the moment, so you are doing the islands as well. How do you choose which ones you do?
So we just go to any inhabited island. We do all them ones, because there's obviously a boat to most of them, not all of them. And then if there's anyone with a fisher boat or anyone that can take us to any of the uninhabited islands, then we take that opportunity and we do that.
Some uninhabited islands are connected by tumbolos, and so it's like a stretch of sand, kind of beach as well, which is quite cool. So,
you're making an effort to get out to those ones as well. Really seeing all of the edges here. You're really getting into all the nooks and crannies and all the corners here, and you're not sort of skimming through. What about kind of rivers and things? So as the river meets the sea and widens, do you sort of traverse down it a little bit and then go back up the other way, or do you just find the nearest bridge and get across that way?
We just we just try to find the shortest kind of route so that we can walk through rivers and stuff like that. I did kind of fall in the Cape Wrath River going to one of the Bothies,
yeah.
And actually nearly drowned. So,
Really? Well, tell me about that. What happened there?
I was going to one of the Bothies in Cape Wrath. I forgot the name of the beach there. I think it was like Sandwood Bay or something. I can't figure out at the top of my head, but yeah, it was just a very shallow but really fast running and very wide river. Tried to cross it. I had flip flops on, thinking that would help, but that never helped at all. They're somewhere in the North Atlantic. They're gone. I slipped. I just got completely soaking wet and cold. Really quickly as well. It's probably the start of November, I think it was. So it was the time where it was like under 10 degrees at least. It was getting quite chilly. It was quite scary, but I'm here to tell the tale, I suppose.
Glad you are. Have you had any other moments where you've had kind of big challenges like that to overcome as you've been doing this, both of you?
For the both of us?
When you sprained your ankle?
Yeah, I sprained my ankle.
I remember that. I remember seeing the photos. What happened with you spraining your ankle?
So pretty much we were on hoy for 2 hours. That's all we made of it. And
the first time round.
Yeah, it just we went down to tent up and I just slipped and I heard a snap. Thought it was broken. Oh, pardon me. I went to take my boot off to see if it was broken or anything like that, and that was just the worst mistake ever because the pain just came after that. So we got ambulanced off hoy to Kirkwall and had to go back the next day because none of the x-ray folk were in. And we went, luckily someone had a B&B, which was pretty cool. So we stayed there for like 2 weeks. But anyways, on that night, the woman was like, oh, you can go get a Chinese.
Yeah, Chinese just down the road. Oh, that'll cheer us up a bit.
Ended up getting food poisoning.
Oh, from the Chinese?
Yeah, so I had like a double whammy of a sprained ankle.
Yeah, sprained ankle.
Food poisoning. So I had to like hobble like every hour to get out of bed, tell Charlotte, oh, can you help me to the toilet? Because I couldn't move because of my ankle, but it was just... Oh, nightmare. But yeah, that was a long recovery. That was about
6 weeks.
Six weeks or something.
Yeah.
All together. We stayed on an island for a month as well, which was amazing. Stronsay was the island. And it was such an amazing opportunity to stay on an island that long. And it was just... What an opportunity. And most of the things as well after that, it was slow. My ankle was very slow healing. It actually kind of only got better when we got to like Aberdeen.
You 6 weeks recovery, but then you started walking past the 6 weeks. I'm assuming it wasn't fully recovered at that point and you were sort of hobbling along on it a little bit.
Yeah. So there'd be like rocks and stuff like that that would make it really sore, but it's still all right. It's not too bad, but yeah. But that was the hardest thing. That was the thing that we had to kind of get over.
Yeah,
a relationship kind of challenge for both of us, I suppose.
Of course,
we got through it unscathed.
And what have been the then on the flip side of that, what have been the highlights for you? What have been the things that really stood out and the moments you kind of you'll take away with you from this? I'm sure there's more than you can possibly think of, but what really stands out?
It's got to be the people, for me.
Overall, the people.
The people are just absolutely amazing. I could say like the best sunset and all the wildlife, like orcas and sea eagles, golden eagles, otters. The list goes on, but the top of the list, it's always been the top of the list, and it probably will always be the top of the list. It's the people.
Is this the kindness that you experience on trail and the giving and the spare rooms for the night and things like that?
Yeah.
It's unconditional kindness. It's not the kindness that they say, oh, I can do this so I can, you know, get a shout out on the page or anything like that. They don't know us before they meet us, and
yeah,
they're just like, oh, do you want a cup of tea? Do you want a coffee? Do you want to stay at mine?
For like,
do you want dinner?
In return kind of thing. It's like,
yeah, it's just, yeah. It's amazing.
Genuine.
It literally is. It's something that we'll always kind of keep to our, close to our heart as a people. And
have there been any examples of that? Anything that kind of really jumps out as and is a good example to share of that kind of kindness?
Yeah. Well, going from John O'Groats, there's just so many. But one stands out the most is when we were going from John O'Groats to Wick.
Oh, yeah, that couple.
Yeah, so there was a couple that we were at John O'Groats, wear bags and stuff like that. And this guy said, oh, we're just living down the road there, like Salem or something like that. What was the place? Kies or something like that. They were like, oh, we've got a holiday house there and stuff like that, and that's where we're going.
We can drop your bags off.
Can drop your bags off and stuff. So, yeah, they dropped our bags off, which was amazing. We came down the trail and got our bags, set up the tent for the night, and we started walking the next morning. And then Charlotte gets a text message saying that the woman has basically bought us a hotel in Wick. For the 2 years for the night because she felt bad because she didn't have any rooms in the house. But that's just one example.
That's remarkable.
And it's incredible. We're extremely grateful, and it's just, I'm so blessed to have such an amazing kind of people around us. So.
Has that challenged your belief on kindness? Because I know, and I'm making an assumption here, but I know it's quite a common assumption to kind of think, you know, people are cruel, the world's cruel. But obviously, you're both experiencing on a daily basis giving unconditionally. Has that shift kind of given you a different outlook, or did you already have that kind of, not expectation is the wrong word, but did you already kind of hope and guess that people might be as kind as they have been to you both?
Yeah, I think I started this way. I didn't really know where it was going to go. I didn't know what people were going to be like, whether they were, especially with COVID at the time, I didn't know if they were going to be kind of very angry or, you know, how they would act. And it was very mixed, my thoughts at the beginning. And Safa were the kind of the first ones to show me the, you know, a really good bit of kindness of sorting me out and helping me and stuff. So I did kind of have that kind of thought, like, maybe there is a good kind of
there are a good few people out there,
it's just so turns out that practically 99% of the people that we've met have just been amazing, and it's just people have been amazing. And I think with that thought, it's just
I'm gonna ask about money, if that's okay. So obviously, you've given up everything to get here, and respectfully, I know from experience that working as a waitress or waiting staff doesn't pay amazingly as well, Charlotte. So, I'm guessing that you have you've not had an endless supply of money or huge amounts of life savings to go and do this with. You mentioned you're kind of doing odd jobs as well as you traverse the coastline. Sort of how then is this funded? And it's a question without any judgment at all. I always ask everybody who does a coastal walk, how the hell do you pay for this? Because it's obviously a big financial commitment as well, to do more days not working than more days working. And, there is a cost involved in keeping yourselves fed and finding hotel rooms and things for when you sprain your ankle and emergency money, etc. So how do you keep yourselves funded for this?
We don't live, I guess... money is real, and we do realise it's a big part of this walk. Charlotte does have like a bit of savings with her as well, but at the same time, we don't go into that pot. We do know that it's there, and if we ever kind of need it, it's an emergency kind of thing. But at the same time, we work for our money as well. We go and we work with people, we work with crofters, that kind of stuff. We try to be as self-sufficient as we possibly can, because we also realise that, you know, you do have this kindness with us, and I don't want to be, I guess, I'm aware of it, and at the same time, I don't want to have, like, some sort of ego way of thinking about that kindness.
You don't want to assume that
I don't want to exploit it in some ways, you know?
Yeah, I guess you don't want to be walking each day assuming, I'll be all right, somebody will kind of pick up the tab tonight because people are nice. You want to make sure you've got yourselves.
It's like a balance, yeah.
Yeah, it is a balance. And sometimes we're not afraid to ask for help because we know that people will help us. But that's obviously in a very rare occurrence when things just seem to not go to plan kind of thing. So, for example, our tent, I've gone through so many tents, it's just been unbelievable, but unexpected wind changes during the night and just all sorts, you know, it's just, ultimately we just, we're aware that we just don't want to exploit the kindness of the people because we love the people that much, you know?
Amazing. And in terms of the route from here onwards, so you've got 4 years ahead of you to do this. Kind of, are you, at what point you're kind of expecting to, I don't know, say for instance, kind of cross the border into England, for instance, from where you are now?
We'll be in England by winter, at least, I think.
Yeah.
I don't really know when we'll get to the border. Maybe October time, roughly.
There's never really a plan.
Yeah.
The ferry's booked from Shetland on the 15th of September, so that's a rough time we'll be getting back to Aberdeen, and then maybe 6 weeks to get to the border. Is it that long? I don't know.
Yeah, something like that.
But you're not in a mad rush anyway, so it's...
Yeah,
that's amazing. So what obviously strikes me as really interesting, as somebody who makes content myself doing this, you guys have sort of become, you know, and you have to be as well if you want to kind of raise money with what you're doing, you know, content creators as you're doing this, whether you like the term or not. So how do you both balance making, like keeping your Facebook and Instagram followers who are your kind of raving supporters up to date, but also ensuring that you just enjoy the time and can actually sit at camp at night without thinking, I've got to do this big write-up and edit a YouTube video? How do you balance all of that? Because I know you've both done... Have you got a joint YouTube video account you've just started, a channel?
Yeah,
we do, yeah.
I think you just put aside, like, an hour just to write something and then you schedule it to post in the morning, don't you, so you don't...
Yeah, so
you write out the night and then you schedule it for the morning.
I'm giving away a secret here, but Meta Business they have that for Facebook, and I can schedule posts and stuff like that, so I can post them in the morning.
So it looks like you woke up super duper early to write a post.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I'm still asleep till about 7 or 8. But we just try to balance it. We don't go to bed too late.
I suppose it's part of the routine now, isn't it?
Yeah, and we get used to it. But we have when we have rest days, it's complete rest days. It's no phones. It's literally doing nothing. We'll meditate for a bit, maybe. We'll maybe do a little bit of admin, but it's literally just shut off. No social media. Just relax.
Yeah. How long? I think it's important to do that actually, because obviously with you both between, you've got quite a good following as well. So you must get quite a lot of messages, and you know, find that you're drawn to, you know, checking your phone and things like that because of, you know, your people wanting to engage and interact with you.
Yeah.
So those rest days must be really nice for you. That's really interesting. Thank you for answering that for me.
Yeah.
In terms of your kit, obviously, you're walking, you're self-sufficient, you won't be doing this, I'm assuming, with sort of ultralight kit and, you know, so what kind of stuff are you carrying? What kind of pack weight and things have you got? And are there any kind of funny things that you thought were essential at the beginning, which kind of got abandoned quite quickly?
So my bag is about 18 kilograms.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm like tiny. And then Dan's is like between 22 to 25.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. So seriously, like the heavy side of things. Yeah.
But that's including like a good few days worth of food, because obviously in Shetland you can go days without a shop and stuff.
Yeah.
So if it was like in England, pack sizes, mine would be 15, yours would be like less than 20.
Yeah, it would definitely drop.
Yeah, it would drop a lot. But in terms of surprisingly useful equipment,
or surprisingly unuseful equipment that you carry. Yeah, things that you kind of started out with and went, I'm going to need this, and then you've never used it.
Nothing to add. Because I think,
that's all right.
I think we're
not really attached to most of our stuff. Yeah. So like at the beginning,
poncho. A poncho, and I used it once, and I was like, don't use this, so get rid of that.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing with me, like poncho and stuff like that. There's,
I had 5 hats at one point.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, right, get rid of some of them.
Yeah. You must burn through things like walking shoes, I'm guessing, as well with this.
Yeah, I can't remember how many pairs I've had.
I think I'm only on my second pair.
I've lost count, like. But I've had these boots that I'm wearing at the minute are the best ones that I've had so far. Altbergs, I don't know if you've heard of them.
Yeah, I've heard of Altbergs, yeah.
Yeah, and they've been absolutely tremendous. I sent them an email telling them what I'm doing. I'm ex-forces as well, and they just said, yeah, what's your address, and I'll send you some. So, they were just amazing. So, they've been my best pair so far. I've looked after them as much as I can. Charlotte's got is it Scarpa?
Scarpa boots.
Scarpa. So they're extremely light, Charlotte's boots. Where mine's is more heavier, and also it wraps around my ankle. Because obviously that injury as well, I wanted to have my confidence back while going over kind of muddy, wet terrain. So these boots were just perfect. Whereas Charlotte's is much more lighter. Yours aren't actually too bad, are they?
They're not, but one started to leak, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, with the miles you're doing, I guess that's a given, isn't it? After a while, they will start to leak.
Yeah. You
know, most folks will put, you know, weekend strain on their boots, but you're on your feet on these shoes every single day with heavy packs on, so it's inevitable, I guess.
Yeah.
So with what you're doing, sort of over the next, I don't know, 4 years or however long this takes, what are your hopes in terms of this walk, in terms of how maybe something you'll get out of it long term, or how it might reach other people or the charities and things like that? Have you got any sort of anything that kind of sits in the front of your mind in terms of what you kind of hope this walk would be for you both?
Yes. So we always try to tell people that we want to. The most motivating thing for this is just because, you know, we just want to inspire people, like our generation, especially millennials and stuff like that. We've lost, I guess, a bit of motivation to explore and go out and search, you know, in the world. You'll turn on the news a day and stuff like that, and it'll be like climate change and the world's going to end and all sorts, you know. And we just kind of want like people to look at us and go, God, I could do something like that. They're the same age as me. Go out and explore their dreams or go and chase something that they want to do. You know, that's what we kind of want to really kind of do to inspire our kind of generation, really. Yeah, inspire people. And at the same time as well, you know, we both have stories that are very intricate, full of trauma, full of different reasons why we are who we are. So writing a book and stuff like that will be something we'll definitely do at the end of the walk. And obviously a list of all the kind of experiences as well. And then beating that, if we don't go back to a 9-to-5, which we'll probably not do, we'll do more challenges, more adventures, maybe somewhere abroad. And we'll just try and keep it going as much as long as possible until... you know, we decide to chill out and say, caught a night, caught a day. Yeah.
Go back to a normal life.
Yeah.
Well, I think you've touched on something really interesting there, because you're both challenging the notion of having a normal life as such. I mean, I live a fairly normal life with the house we sort of, the bank owns, but we, you know, pay the bank money for, and with two kids and a, you know, 9-to-5 job. But you're really, you know, millennials in particular have had a lot of pressure to conform to that normal life. But there is a real, you know, resurgence of people like yourselves going, well, why do I need to work 9-to-5?
Yeah.
I want to go do something I want to do, and, you know, to hell the world and this. And, you know, you go off and do it and you share it, and people go, there are other options out there. I can do things like that. And I think that's really incredible that you're doing that. Have you had any kind of experience with people where they messaged you, for instance, and said, I've been watching, or, you know, looking at what you're doing online, and you've given me the confidence to go do something else? Has that happened, or is that something you kind of hope will happen?
I think there has been instances where people have messaged us and been like, well, there's one person in particular, I think her name's, I've forgotten her name, Walking the Coast.
It's another coast walker that's about to set off on a journey. And she's been, I think she's been wanting to do it for months, but she's had delays because I think she's taken a dog or something and she's having to train a dog, so that's delayed her a bit. But we've sent her messages saying, oh, if you've got any questions, and we've answered a lot of questions for her, and she was like, oh, because I've been watching your journey and it's keeping me inspired to keep wanting to do this and to actually finally set off, kind of thing. So we've had that, and we've had a couple of others, haven't we? Who are about to set off on this journey. I'm like, oh, watching you guys keeps the dream alive, kind of vibe, that kind of thing.
I think in the whole instance,
I don't know if we've had anyone else directly.
Yeah, not directly, like that, but,
It's hard to tell how many people you touched indirectly, because it takes, you know, it takes a lot for somebody to send a message. I mean, I very rarely get a message through the pot about this, for instance, but when I do, I'm like, right, well, that one person must represent a few more people, you know, who feel the same. I guess you probably have a similar kind of reach as in regards to what you're doing.
Yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah. We have a fairly good amount of followers on Facebook and stuff like that. Well, I wouldn't even call them followers, more like close friends, I suppose, because every one of them is just so in touch, and they keep, you know, they support us as much as we try to inspire them, you know, and
Well, I think we have inspired quite a few people, because everyone's like, oh, right, I'm going to add that island to my bucket list, I'm going to add this to my bucket list, oh, that looks nice, I'm going to go there, and
Your photos are amazing anyway. I don't know what I don't know if you got an SLR with you or anything, but, you know, the photos you both take, especially some of the seascapes, are incredible.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you. Yeah.
So, just on my iPhone.
Charlotte, I get the credit, but
yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, they're really good. I mean, have you enjoyed, for instance, being, you know, mentioned about, you know, the news and, you know, that constant barrage of media, which is very much the theme of the moment, where people are so busy in their day-to-day lives and you're very much stepping away from that. Has that really helped your kind of mental well-being, just not being exposed to sort of that normal kind of cycle of life that we're all exposed to? How's that kind of shifted your mindset as such?
It definitely has. I think not only has it improved it, we find ourselves not engaging in anything negative at all, really. But that's not to say that we don't get negativity, or someone tries to show us the news and all that kind of stuff, or they express it to us themselves. You know, we are in touch. We do have social medias and stuff like that.
Yeah,
we do
see
it.
But we don't sit and look at it intentionally.
If yeah.
It goes on our news feed and we're like, oh, right, okay, what's this about?
Yeah.
Or if someone, a few people love to tell us what the news is about, like what's happening in the news, and I'm like, I don't really want to know.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
But at the same time, you know, we go into people's houses and stuff like that, and I think from my point of view, where I see things is that if I was to just look at the news all the time, and I come to their house and like, have you seen this? Have you seen that? And just make, you know, kind of a negative kind of vibe about it. It would just ruin their experience. It wouldn't be the thing that I'm wanting to get across. And I think I want to go there and touch the heart and, you know, inspire them. You know, that's what I want to do with everyone I meet. And I think if I watch the news, that won't happen. So, but yeah.
It's I think it's really important for most people to kind of step away from that anyway. So, you know, the fact that you both, you know, having this very deep experience of being, you know, disconnected in some ways is quite profound, and is obviously going to have a big impact in your lives. I think that probably starts to bring us to a close with this now. Now, if there was somebody listening who is in a position where they just want to change, regardless of what that is, it doesn't need to be walking the coast path or doing any walking of sorts, but if they're in that position where they just want to change and want to step out their outside their comfort zone and do something that's not the norm, what advice would you both have for that person? And that's a question for both of you to answer.
Who wants to go first?
Well, you can go first.
It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be a profound answer. Just curious to know what you would say.
Well, the one thing I would say is, just go traveling somewhere on your own, solo traveling, because that's what I did before I joined this walk. So I went around Europe, I went to Central America, and I think solo traveling is the one thing that really opened your eyes and proves you can do things by yourself. It's a good experience, and you get to meet so many people, and that's the one thing I would recommend anyone to do. Even if it's in the UK, you don't even have to get on the plane. There's so many places in the UK you can just go visit for a week. Go in the countryside. If you live in a city, get to the countryside, realise what the other side of life is, kind of thing. It can be something simple as get a tent, go on a little walk for a few days. Just realise that there is more to life than, say, if you are the type of person to be stuck in a 9-to-5 job, you don't really get out much, and just have some time to yourself. Just make some time, even if it's 2 days. And then you might get a feel for it, and then just go from there, really. Take little steps. You don't have to go walk the whole coastline. You can just go walk down the road, go in a field, see some cows, I don't know.
Get outside. No, you're good.
Something you never would normally do.
Awesome
and
answer.
Then go from there.
Yeah.
No pressure, Daniel. That's on
you. So for me, I'd be like, go back to nature. Anything in nature, it's healing. Just get inspiration from it. A lot of people that get their best ideas is in solidarity. Like a lot of famous artists, people that have wrote some amazing pieces and books and stuff, all came from solitude. So go out and just live a few nights out in the wild for a bit. You know, get a tent, get a fire going, get some fresh food, maybe even try and fish as well. You know, just try and make your own opportunity of life. You know, because I just feel like, you know, this life is such a gift to have, and to experience this world is just unbelievable. Like, not coming from like a woo-woo point of view, but
no, carry on.
This is absolutely amazing. Important. And some days we look at outside to like this coastline and all the cliffs and stuff like that, and we think it's absolutely magnificent. And we can't believe that we're doing it. And every day is just amazing. And at the same time, if I could just show people that, or even if they want to go out and do that, they'll realise that there's more to life than what you've been told, I suppose. What is normal, kind of thing, you know? Thank you very much.
Make your own tick quiz to life. Don't follow the
tick
quiz.
That's
what I'm gonna say. Make your own tick quiz.
I agree with that. Make your own choices.
Yeah.
Step away from norm. I agree with that. I mean, as I said earlier, I've got my sort of fairly normal life, but this was my thing. My do something different, and you know, it's different to what you guys do, but on the same way, it's a step away from the norm and a challenge. And you know, I when I occasionally talk to people about it, I'm like, it's the best thing I ever did, in much the same way that, you know, everyone I talk to who does similar kind of things but entirely different, it's the best thing they ever did.
So
pointing towards my microphone podcast, I mean, it's the best thing I ever did, because obviously not everybody's gonna watch this. So it's been really nice to have you both on. Really, really good. As I said, I wasn't sure whether you're both going to come on, or whether it's just going to be yourself, Daniel, or both of you as well, Charlotte. So I'm really glad that you joined as well.
Yeah.
Now, if people want to find you on the back of listening to this podcast online, where is the best place for them to go and find you?
So it's either at Daniel McNeil's Walk Around Britain, or type in the at Dan Walks UK. You can find us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter. We've got everything. Charlotte also has her own Facebook page, which is Charlotte's Coastal Adventure. But if you can find mine first, you'll probably no doubt find Charlotte's.
Brilliant. Great. That's fantastic. And you've also, throw that in there, got the YouTube channel, which is Daniel and Charlotte's Coastal Adventure, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one, yeah.
Wicked. That is fantastic. Okay, well, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a pleasure. I will catch up at some point, I hope, as you continue around the coastline, in maybe a couple of years' time, as you're still going.
Yeah.
But it's been really nice to have you on today. Look after yourself, and thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Matt. Yeah. Cheers.
Pleasure.
I really do appreciate it.
Cheers. Bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Welcome back. Episode 25, complete and in the bag. Still with me? Thanks again for listening to the show with Daniel and Charlotte. I hope you enjoyed the episode. So that is it for this fortnight. It's been a pleasure as always. I look forward to bringing you more stories from the trail, more hiker stories coming up. Of course, I've got some really cool stuff lined up over the next couple of months and into the future. These episodes will be continuously coming out on a fortnightly basis. That routine seems to work best to allow me to provide the best podcast. Love to do it weekly, but just can't at the moment. So fortnightly it is, just for now, but it seems to work, and you guys keep on coming back for more. So as long as you come back for more, I will keep on putting the episodes out. So thank you again for listening. It's been a pleasure. Whatever you're doing the rest of your day, evening, wherever you are, cooking, driving, in bed, going for a run, having a bath. It's weird having a bath listening to me, but if you're having a bath, enjoy your bath, and I will speak to you again real soon.